We're now going to read Philemon together. So if you haven't got a Bible, it would be really good if you did, so that you can read along with us. If you don't have one, just put your hand in the air and someone will bring you one. For the rest of us, Philemon is on page 1,200 of the regular church Bibles. Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, and also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me.
I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Well, please be seated. And let me add my welcome to Glenn's. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here at the church. It's great to see you here. If I haven't met you personally, please do come say hi. It would be great to get to know you. I'm really sorry to ask, but could someone shut one of those blinds? Because I can't actually see any of you right now. And I'm sure there are one or two here this morning. So please open your Bible again to Philemon if you've closed it. 1,200, I think, in the church Bibles. If you are visiting us this morning, our habit as a church family is simply to work through books of the Bible. We spend time together kind of just thinking about them, working through them in the order that God has given them to us. And we have finally got to week number 6 in this very short letter. Don't worry, we've only got one left to go, but I hope that you're getting to know Philemon really well by now. We've read it 6 times on a Sunday morning. I hope that it's becoming familiar territory, and I do hope that you're enjoying the lessons that God is teaching us as we go through this short letter together. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a think about the very next little bit together, but let me pray and ask for God's help. God, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this short letter. Thank you for all that you've been teaching us through this portion of your word by the power of the Holy Spirit here on a Sunday morning. Thank you that you've taught us about love. doing things on the basis of love. Father, thank you for the way that we've seen love transforms relationships, transforms our homes, transforms being church. Father, it is a love that welcomes anesimuses. Father, we thank you for your love. And Father, this morning as we come back to this short letter, we would ask, please, that you would, as we've just sung, tune our hearts to sing your grace. Father, prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Lord, realign us this morning with all that you want us to be as disciples of Jesus. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just as we come back to the letter this morning, I want to begin by getting you to think about something for me. And here's what I want you to think about. Who would you struggle to welcome into your life, into your world, into your kind of everyday? Who would you struggle to welcome? Or perhaps let's think about it corporately as a church. Who would we struggle to welcome as a church family if they were to come through that door and seek to be part of us, to share life with us? Who would you struggle to welcome? By welcome, I mean that kind of open-armed inclusion and integration into our lives. Not just a glib welcome, but a genuine welcome. That to offer of an expression of friendship, perhaps. Now, to welcome someone, if you're with this idea, may include all sorts of things. On occasions, to welcome someone may mean forgiving them. Perhaps they've wronged you in some way. For some, it may include a reconciliation of a relationship that's fallen apart. For some, it could be restoration. Maybe there are people in your life, as you sit here this morning, who have wronged you in some way. They've hurt you. They've said things against you. They've made life difficult for you. Maybe there are people who have been a huge drain on your time. They have just taken hours and hours of your world and your life and your energy, and they're the sort of people that you might think, well, I'd struggle to have them in my life, to welcome them. Are these the sort of people that you would struggle to welcome? I wonder if Philemon was sitting with us this morning, whether the name he might have put on the list of people he would struggle to welcome would be the name Onesimus. Onesimus might be that person. See, if Philemon had a welcome doormat in his house, if he'd have heard that Onesimus was coming home, if he'd have heard that Onesimus was going to knock on the front door, Philemon might have been tempted to take the welcome mat away and say, actually, I don't think you're very welcome here. See, we've already seen, if you're new here today, there's a bit of a backstory to this letter. We've already been seeing that Onesimus is a runaway slave of Philemon's. Onesimus has wronged Philemon. He may have robbed from Philemon. We don't know the details. We can only kind of piece it together. But what we see is that Onesimus is a runaway rebel who has caused Philemon a lot of harm, public harm, the household a lot of harm. And this is not a man, Onesimus is not a man that you would expect to be easily welcomed back into Philemon's house. But today, after 5 weeks together of journeying through this letter of Philemon, today we finally come to the one instruction that Paul has for Philemon. And it's the instruction we look at in verse 17. So come with me to verse 17. A little number 17 there. This is what Paul says. So, Philemon, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Welcome him as you would welcome me. Philemon is being asked to welcome Onesimus home. Now, before we can begin to kind of get our heads around this bit of teaching, before we can kind of chew on it together as a church family and think, well, what does this mean for me? What does this look like worked out into our relationships? We have to start this morning by just getting our heads around this word welcome. It means to welcome someone, as we've already hinted at, means to receive them. It means to extend your friendship to them, to extend your help to them, your love to them. If you were to capture it visually, we might kind of, I don't know, have a handshake or a, you know, a very British sort of cuddle or even a full-on embrace. It might be that kind of imagery, this welcome, you're welcome here, a homecoming. And behind this request, you see, for Philemon to welcome home Onesimus, we have to understand that behind this welcome, there stands a much greater welcome story. There's a story that stands behind this instruction in verse 17, that it's only when we get that story that we can begin to understand verse 17 and what it might look like for us to live it. It's the welcome that Jesus gives to runaway rebels like us. That's the welcome that stands in the background of this story. You see, if we were to pick just one word, I don't know, let's just kind of use your heads for a second, but if you were to pick one word to sum up the Bible story, to sum up what we call the gospel, what word would you pick? Maybe some of us would say Jesus. That's a good word to pick, isn't it? Maybe some of us might pick the word grace. That's a great word to pick. But I want to say to you, you would do worse than picking this one word, welcome. If you wanted to sum up the gospel in one word, the Jesus story in one word, the story of the Bible in one word, it could be the word, can we say it together? Welcome. That's a great word to pick. It is the message of love. You see, look at verse 9. We keep coming back to verse 9. Yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. What is this love? Well, we could sum it up in one word. What's the word? Welcome. Good, you are alive this morning. That's great. It's the word welcome. The Bible is a story of God's welcome. Welcome home for people who have sinned against him. For people who have wronged him. For people who have run away from him. For people who owe him. In fact, when Jesus, the Son of God, comes to earth, what is the very thing that people accuse him of? Luke chapter 15, verse 1 says this: "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." That's our Jesus. That's the story. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came into this world to welcome sinners. They stretched him out on a cross, his arms wide open. He hung there, dying. Why? So that he could welcome sinners like us home. Forgiven. Restored to relationship with God. Our debts are paid. This is captured for us, I think, in a story that Jesus actually tells in that very same chapter where we read the words, "This man welcomes sinners." In Luke 15, Jesus tells the story of a son who turns around to his dad and says, "Dad, you know what, I don't really want to live here anymore. I'd prefer just to get away from it, if you don't mind. Could I have the inheritance?" And so this son, he takes everything from his father. He takes everything his dad gives, but wants nothing to do with his dad, and he runs away. And he lives a life of wild living. He parties hard. He plays hard. He just lives the life that he wants to live. And eventually he ends up in a pit. His money runs out. Life is tough. He ends up in a field feeding pigs. And in this moment of darkness, having run away from his dad, he comes to his senses and he thinks, I know I'm going to be in big trouble if I go home. But boy, it was better with dad. Boy, it was better with him. And so he gets up from the field and he returns home. He goes down, he's practicing his speech in his head. "I could just say this to dad, I could just say this to dad." And as he gets close, he thinks, "Boy, I must be in big trouble because dad is running towards me." And what does his dad do? His dad throws his arms around him and embraces him and he welcomes him. And he says, "Son, welcome home. I love you and I'm going to throw a party for you." And Jesus tells us that story because he wants us to understand that that is the gospel, that is the good news, that is what Jesus came into this world to do. He came to welcome sinners, to throw his arms around us, to run towards those who are coming back to him and say, "You are welcome." And friends, that is the welcome that stands behind verse 17. You see, if verse 17 is written there on the page, if you just lift your eyes slightly, that's the welcome story that sits in the background of this command. It's the welcome that we have received, many of us in this room, from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the welcome that Paul had received. Paul, who writes this letter, went around murdering Christians, but he had received a welcome from Jesus. It's the welcome that Philemon had received. It's the welcome that Onesimus had received from Jesus. And friends, before I go any further this morning, before any of us can start thinking about living out verse 17 in our own worlds, I need to ask some of you this morning, have you received that welcome? Have you asked the Lord Jesus to welcome you in that kind of way? See, some of you might be sitting here this morning thinking, well, he could never welcome someone like me. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know what I'm like. You don't know my thought life. You don't know my history. I want to say to you this morning, yes, he will. This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them. Ask him now. Ask him this morning, Lord Jesus, receive me, welcome me, forgive me, reconcile me. Please put me back into relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, if you've already received that welcome, then it's only when you remember that welcome, it's only as a church when we see that big story, the gospel in one word welcome, will we ever get anywhere close to being able to live out what's being asked of us in verse 17. Have a look again at verse 17. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him. Philemon, welcome him. Receive him. Receive Onesimus. Give him a homecoming. Treat him as he has already been treated by Jesus. Yes, he's wronged you. Yes, you might not feel like it, Philemon. This may just make your life awkward. You may have all these bitter thoughts arising in you. Yes, it flies in the face of society. Yes, everyone in the town's going to be looking at you, Philemon, thinking, what? He's welcomed Onesimus home? Why shouldn't he have thrown him in jail? Why shouldn't he have got him into big trouble? Yes, it flies in the face of everything that society says, but Philemon, please, welcome him. You see, as those of us who have already been welcomed by Jesus, and I'd say that's a large proportion of us in this room, those of us who have been welcomed by Jesus, we have got to learn to welcome those who have already been welcomed by Jesus. We should welcome those who have been welcomed by Jesus already. Now, how might that play out? Because I guess many of us here don't have a runaway slave that we're expecting to come back soon. Just in case you do, this is very relevant to you. But how does it work out for us? Well, actually, the reality is that probably many of us at times have been wronged by somebody else. Maybe another Christian. Somebody in the church perhaps has said something against us. A Christian friend may have wronged us. Now, what are we to do when someone who may have caused us harm in some way comes to us and says, I'm sorry, when they return into your world? How should you treat them? Verse 17 is relevant for you. What if it's a child who's caused you a lot of grief and a lot of pain and over the years, and yet they now return to you and they say, I'm sorry. Verse 17 is relevant for you. What if it's that somebody has caused trouble to the church? Someone's caused a lot of grief, maybe some divisions. Somebody in the history of the church, perhaps, who decides to walk back in the door and they say, I'm sorry. This verse is relevant for us as a church. How do we treat that person when they come back in? What about a family member who said something careless in an argument? Someone who's hurt you, who's left deep wounds? Verse 17 is relevant for us. Might be someone who isn't quite like you. Somebody joins church. Somebody joins your grow group. And you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I get on with this person. This is relevant for you. What we're seeing here, what we're learning in verse 17, is relevant to all of us in some kind of way. And so we need to listen in. And so the question I just want to think through a little bit this morning from this letter is how? How do we go about welcoming like this? How do we going about giving this kind of embracing, reconciling, forgiving hug, as it were, to people who've wronged us or to people who aren't like us, to people who've become Christians? How do we do it? It's a hard ask, isn't it? That's a big ask. Well, I want to show you that there are two very practical helps in this thing that will help us to welcome others in this kind of way. Here's the first thing. We are helped to welcome people who've been welcomed by Jesus when we see them as fellow followers of the Lord Jesus. Look with me at verse 17. Again, look how it starts. So Philemon, if you consider me a partner. Now let's just pause and think about that word for a bit. If you consider me a partner. It's the same word, actually, if you look at verse 6. We've been here already. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective. Same word, partnership. Now, this is a word that was commonly used in the ancient world for business. And I think it still is, isn't it? You know, you talk about business partners or you know, partners in a law firm, that kind of idea. We use this idea, but Paul's not got in mind business here. It comes from a Greek word called koinonia, which is the word sometimes we might know as the word fellowship, this kind of sharing something together. And it's more than kind of going to a football stadium and sharing a love of a team and a few chants together. Now, there's something much deeper going on here. Paul is saying, if you consider me a partner, if you consider me someone who shares Jesus with you, who shares a Savior with you, who shares an eternity with you, who shares the same Lord over your life, who shares the same welcome. You see, when we get welcomed by Jesus, and this is what we've got to understand, something supernatural goes on. We get bound to one another and bound to Jesus in the deepest of partnerships. See, Paul says to Philemon, if you consider me a partner, then welcome him as you would welcome me, i.e. welcome him as a partner too. I think that's what Paul's saying. Welcome Onesimus as a fellow follower of Jesus. Welcome him as someone who now intimately shares Jesus with you. Perhaps a helpful visual for thinking about this is that it's like Jesus has so bound himself to Onesimus by welcoming him that as he knocks on the door, it's not just Onesimus standing there, but it's like Jesus is standing by his side. He's that bound up. And Jesus is coming to the front door with Onesimus and saying, look, I've got Onesimus here, I've welcomed him back, and I want you to do the same. See, think about it for a moment. How would Philemon, and we have to use our imaginations here, how would Philemon have welcomed Paul? Because that's what he's asking him to do. If Paul had come to the door, Philemon would be like, Paul, it's great to see you. I haven't seen you for ages. They let you out of prison. Are you okay? How's your body? Yeah, you're looking great. You got a few scars there. Paul, come on in. Let's have some food. Let me make you a bed. You need a drink. It's been a long journey. That's how Philemon would have welcomed Paul, right? You get a hint of that. Verse 1, he calls him a dear friend, a brother in the Lord. You know, we all have fellow followers of Jesus that we would love to knock on our door, wouldn't we? And we would love to throw our arms open to, that it would fill us with joy to see fellow followers of Jesus. We all have people like that. But Paul is poking us and prodding us just gently to say, actually, that's how we're to treat all believers. Even those who've wronged us in some way, we are to see them as partners. We're to see them as sharers of Jesus, fellow followers of Jesus. This is a welcome that Paul had received firsthand. Think about Paul for a moment. Paul goes around kind of murdering Christians, trying to put a stop to the church. He gets saved in a pretty miraculous way. Not all of us are going to have a story like his, but he gets saved in a pretty miraculous way. And he comes and he ends up in Jerusalem, and a man named Ananias comes to see him. Ananias was terrified. You mean, Lord, you want me to go and see this guy who goes around murdering Christians? Are you sure about that? But Ananias goes, and what does he say to him? Brother Saul. He welcomes him. He extends the hand. Paul has received this welcome. Or then Paul later on tries to go to Jerusalem. And news reaches Jerusalem that the guy who goes around trying to put Christians in prison has turned up, and nobody wants to go near him except one man. Barnabas. Barnabas extends a hand to Paul and says, welcome. Let me take you to the others. Paul knows what it is to be welcomed in this kind of way. And you see, I wonder here if Paul isn't just hinting at something a little bit bigger. Might he really be saying, welcome him, welcome Onesimus, as if Jesus himself was walking through the door? That's how bound up Jesus is with his people. Welcome him as if you were welcome Jesus. Paul kind of stands in a way in this letter where he's almost in a Christ-like position. He's instrumental, isn't he, in Philemon's conversion, instrumental in Onesimus' conversion. And now he's sort of sitting there and he's kind of trying to bring these two back together. He almost sits in a Jesus-like place. And I think that's there just to make a point. Welcome him as you would welcome me is a way of saying, look, if someone is a follower of Jesus, you should welcome them as if Jesus himself was walking through the door. Why? Because he's loved them. Because he's welcomed them. We are to see other believers as sharing Jesus with us, bound up with Jesus, fellow followers of Jesus. It is to change the way that we look at people. If someone is standing in front of you and you're thinking, I've got to welcome this person, I know I've got to welcome this person because the Bible tells me, how do you overcome all your struggles? One of the ways is to remind yourself that that person is a fellow follower of Jesus. Jesus has welcomed them. Will I? Will you welcome like that? Friends, are there people that even this week you need to change your thinking about, that you need to kind of put on new glasses and say, okay, I'm struggling with this person, but actually Jesus has welcomed this person. Are there people that we need to welcome like that? We can only welcome when we begin to see people as fellow followers of Jesus. And then second and lastly, let me just show you another one. How can we help? How are we helped to welcome people that may have wronged us? Well, we've got to see them as forgiven by Jesus. See, look at verse 18. Look how Paul goes on. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Now, this kind of just sounds like Paul's being a nice bloke, doesn't it? Kind of smoothing everything over, you know, oh, cover the debts, look, let me make everything right. And he's just trying to put everything in order and right to make it all a happy situation. Now, that might be what he's doing. Paul was a nice bloke, and he probably was trying to smooth things over. But I think there's a lot more going on here. There's a lot of talk in this little bit of the Bible we read about owing each other. Did you notice that? So have a look at verse 18. If he owes you anything. So if this idea that kind of maybe Onesimus owes Philemon something. But then if you flick down to verse 19, what does Paul say? Well, not to mention that you owe me your very self. And so there's all this owing going on. Onesimus owes Philemon something. Philemon owes Paul something. There's debts everywhere. So what's going on? Well, Paul is drawing attention to the gospel. He takes our eyes, as it were, from this one welcome going on between Philemon and Onesimus, and he takes us back to the welcome that we have received from the Lord Jesus. And he is saying that it is important to remember the gospel is one of forgiveness, the one of debts being paid. We sing a song here as a church family, which we love to sing, but right in the middle it says this, now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Friends, we are helped to welcome others, to love others, only when we remember that the person in front of us has already been forgiven by Jesus. All their debts have been paid by the Lord Jesus in full. See, that particular wrong that somebody may have done against you, Jesus took the punishment for that on the cross. That harsh word that someone spoke against you, Jesus was already punished for that on the cross. That anger, that robbing, whatever it may be, that disunity, if someone has come to the Lord Jesus and confessed their sins, that sin has been paid for in full. And so, brothers and sisters, I have to learn to forgive the sins of others that Jesus has already forgiven them. Why should I hold on to a debt that Jesus has already paid? Do you see the point? If he owes you anything, charge it to me. If someone owes you anything, it's already been charged to the Lord Jesus' account. As Paul writes elsewhere, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let me ask you a question, maybe just to kind of probe a little bit into our hearts today. Are you holding on to debts this morning against others that Jesus has already forgiven them? Are you holding on to things that you need to let go of because Jesus has already paid for it in full? Are you holding on to wrongs, perhaps, that Jesus has already paid? See, we can only extend a welcome, a gospel welcome to others when we see that those who have come to us, those who are sorry and returned to us, have been forgiven in full by the Lord Jesus. If he's forgiven them, then why can't I? Now, I know this can be hard, okay? We've got to be real about this, because any of us that are actually involved in any actual reconciliations at the moment, we can't just sit here and go, oh, that sounds perfect. Any one of us who's done it will know how hard it is to do it. The thoughts that you wrestle with, the struggles that you go through to welcome some people back. But actually, we can do it with the help of the one who already forgives. See, look at verse 3. I love this about the letter. Verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just a polite way of greeting. That is actually saying, may there be grace to you. And then look how he ends the letter, verse 25. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Philemon, if you're going to welcome Onesimus, you're going to need some help. And there's good news. There is help. There's help. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ can help us to welcome others in this kind of way. And it's a big ask, isn't it, for Philemon? But it's also a big ask for the church. Now, you've got to kind of just picture the scene, okay? Philemon is reading this letter in front of the church with Onesimus standing on. So the rest of the church is all like poised, bated breath. What is Philemon going to do? And actually, do you know what? It's a group effort. It's why the letter tops and tails by addressing the whole church. We don't see it because our U's are all the same, but it's like saying the American y'all at the beginning and the end, right? He's addressing everybody. And the church has got to play their part. The church has got to play their part in welcoming, in helping Philemon to welcome him home. Welcome those who have been welcomed by Jesus already, even if they've wronged you. That is the lesson. That's what we're trying to work through. That's the big point of this letter. Welcome those who've been welcomed by Jesus, even if they've wronged you. Friends, can I ask you just to go back to the beginning of where we started this talk, which is, who is the list? Who is on your list of people that you would struggle to welcome? You know what? Why don't you just pick that person in your head for a moment and pray, Lord, help me to be able to welcome them just like Jesus would welcome me. Who is it that perhaps you will seek this week to have a new attitude towards? Think of them differently. Someone forgiven by Jesus. Someone who shares Jesus with you. You see, friends, if we were to pick one word for the gospel, what would the word be? Good. Thank you to the three of you who are still awake. What would the word be? Welcome. How has Jesus treated you? He has welcomed you. He's welcomed me. What is the gospel lived out in one word? It is the word welcome. Friends, may the Lord Jesus help us to welcome others as he has welcomed us. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Let me give you a moment's quiet to respond perhaps to what we've heard this morning. Maybe there are particular relationships that you want to try and apply this to even today. And for others of us here this morning, maybe this morning you actually need to be welcomed by Jesus. And if you do want to receive that welcome from Jesus, if you feel like the runaway son this morning who who wants to return but doesn't know how. I'm going to pray a short prayer this morning that you could pray with me to help you know how to return. Lord Jesus, sorry that we have wronged you. Sorry that we have run away from you and lived life our own way. Thank you that you came into this world to welcome sinners like me. Thank you that you stretched out your arms as you were nailed to that cross so that my debts could be paid in full and I could be welcomed home. Please forgive me. Please welcome me. Please restore me to God.